Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends. I'm sure we've all had the experience where we find ourselves in a very sad situation, but we are urged to find peace and maybe even joy in that sad situation. Join me again, please, in Jerusalem in the fall of 445 BC with Nehemiah and Ezra, as these courageous men are leading the entire city of Jerusalem in a time of renewal, rebuilding, and even spiritual revival. The Jerusalem city wall had been amazingly rebuilt by the people in 52 days, and I left you yesterday standing outside in the public square near the water gate as Ezra the scholar was reading the law of God, which Moses had written so many generations before, Nehemiah chapter 8. Levites scattered throughout the crowd were explaining to the people what Ezra was reading. It was all a bit overwhelming emotionally as the people reflected on God's unique blessing, provision, protection, and faithfulness to the people of Israel all the way back through the generations to the days of Abraham. As they looked around where they were standing in the city of Jerusalem, and especially looking up at the huge temple at the highest point of the city, they were a bit overwhelmed with the reality that their ancestors in that great city had so badly turned away from God that God had to send enemy armies to destroy Jerusalem 140 years before with King Nebuchadnezzar. But now they rejoiced because God had brought them and their parents back from exile in Babylon. God had enabled them to rebuild the great temple and most recently their city protective wall. Oh, so much rich history of both God's blessing and judgment with his people. So Nehemiah gives us this glimpse into what was happening in that public square that day, October 8, 445 BC. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the law of God. Nehemiah told them, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. So do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Nehemiah 8, verse 9 and 10. The conviction the people were feeling was very appropriate as they reflected on their shameful past in view of what they heard as God's word was being read aloud to them. But Nehemiah and Ezra both wanted the people to focus on God's faithfulness, God's holiness, God's mercy, God's sovereignty over all, and God's enduring love for his people. That focus should awaken great joy and thanksgiving among the people. Greatly encouraged, the people did exactly what Nehemiah urged them to do as they returned home to celebrate. Have you ever been reading a book you simply can't put down? Or maybe you had an experience which was so great, you came back the next day for more. That's exactly what was happening in Jerusalem, as Nehemiah records that the people came back the next day, October 9, 445 BC, for more of Ezra reading God's word to them. On the second day of the month, the heads of all the families, along with the priests and Levites, gathered around Ezra the teacher to give attention to the words of the law. They discovered that the Israelites were to live in temporary shelters during the festival of the seventh month. So the people went out and brought back branches and built themselves temporary shelters on their rooftops, in their courtyards, in the temple courts, and the public square. Nehemiah chapter 8. Oh my, what's happening here, you ask? Ezra was reading either from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 16, verse 13 to 17, or Leviticus chapter 23, verse 40 to 43, in which Moses recorded God's instructions for the annual festival of Sukkot. But why temporary shelters made of branches? God explained his instructions this way. All native-born Israelites are to live in such temporary shelters for 7 days, so your descendants will know that I had the Israelites live in temporary shelters when I brought them out of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Leviticus 23. Just as God designed the Passover to be an annual festival for the Jews to celebrate God's miraculous deliverance of their ancestors from Egyptian bondage, so Sukkot was to be an annual festival in which the Jews celebrate God's faithfulness in providing shelter, food, and water for their ancestors for 40 years as they wandered in the desert. Now pause just a moment. What regular activities do you have which celebrate God's faithfulness and active involvement in your family heritage and ancestry? Nehemiah tells us the people in Jerusalem rushed out of the city, cut down limbs, and started building temporary shelters inside the city so they could fully engage in this long-abandoned historical tradition which celebrated God's reliable faithfulness. In fact, Nehemiah records this powerful statement, "From the days of Joshua, son of Nun, until that day, October 9, 445 BC, the Israelites had not celebrated Sukkot like this, and their joy was very great. Day after day, from the first day to the last, Ezra read from the book of the law of God. The people celebrated the Sukkot festival for 7 days, and on the eighth day, in accordance with the word of God, they held a great assembly." Nehemiah chapter 8. By the way, Joshua led the people into the land of God's promise in about 1400 BC. Do the math, my friends. That's almost 1,000 years before this festival in Jerusalem with Nehemiah. Pause and ponder that. How does the worship and celebration of your church compare to what you know of worship over the past 1,000 years where you live? This 8-day event was nothing short of overwhelming for everyone involved, and I'm sure was a story told for generations to come. But let's close today soaking in one theme that I see Nehemiah repeated several times in his record of that Sukkot week. Did you notice it? Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." And then again in verse 12, "The people went away to celebrate with great joy." And again in verse 17, "Their joy was very great." So I ask all of us, no matter where you are today around our world, is the joy of the Lord your strength? Is your joy in the Lord very great? Is the Lord's joy in you very great? Do you remember Jesus said these words to his disciples in the upper room only hours before he went to the cross? "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and I remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete." John 15. Now I urge us to simply join the Jerusalem Sukkot festival as best you can, and let the joy of the Lord overwhelm you today,